Well, thank you. Everybody, I feel so, like, hey. Everybody should fill up these first four or five rows. That way I feel connected with you that way. This way, I like to see your eyeballs. Thank you. Oh, this means a lot. Do I need to turn that on? How's that? Is that better right there? Okay. Thank you. Oh, there's always somebody like those people in the very back corner, right? There's always somebody like that. You know, they got to stand out from the crowd. Thank you. Oh, this is so much better. It makes me feel better. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's good, brother. It's close enough. Thank you for the opportunity. I realize he's got Brother Stedman coming Sunday, and then another missionary next Wednesday. So I really count this a privilege to be able to speak to you today. And first of all, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. It just seems like we live in some really interesting times. People's faith are being tested. Character issues. Even things about our country. So much division. So many things that just seems like it's just tearing us at the seam. And so it's a good time to get planted in your church and get involved. Because really, I think through all this, the church is the answer. We know that it's Christ, right? But it's God working through the local church to reach people and give them hope. Then the only hope that there is in this life is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I don't know if you've ever watched any documentaries about, you know, like lions going after like wildebeests or water buffaloes. And if you ever watch that, you know, there's something interesting about that. They never go for the middle of the pack. They never go for the real healthy. They go for those that are kind of, you know, in the back. Kind of like, you know, with the group, but not really in the group, you know? Yeah. Like the guy in blue. The guy in blue. If I was a lion, that's who I would go for right over there. I mean, I'd just take him out. That's probably nobody would even notice, you know. Easy kill. You know, that the Bible talks about the devil being that way. You know, he's like a lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so stay plugged in. Get involved. This is the Wednesday night group, and so thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your prayers, your support. We need it. Our church, you know, has got challenges just like your church has got, and we're facing things quickly. 2 weeks ago, they made it absolutely mandatory. If you're going to be in church, you had to have a mask. And then they withdrew that statement. And as long as it's in church and not a restaurant, you don't have to. But we're heading down that path again. It seems like it's just deja vu all over again. Let's instill fear once again. Let's create more division. And, you know, so we have older people in our church as well as younger people. And, you know, honestly, the older people feel more vulnerable. Because there's always underlying health issues. And it seems like that COVID goes after those underlying. I mean, it kind of accentuates those things. And so there's more concern. I get it. Some of our older people have just stayed home. And we miss them. And but I understand. We don't make it a point in our church to say this is how it should be. It's just however the Lord leads you, you know, pray. Get a hold of God. Seek out, you know, some counsel. Talk to your doctor, whatever. Make the best choice that you can. But just don't follow what everybody's doing just because. I mean, think about some things. So that's what we've told our people. And but anyway, our church is going well. We're still growing in the midst of all of this. People are still looking for answers. They're still looking for hope. And we're praying for more opportunity to minister to local people. We, you know, if you come in and you're a tourist, we're not going to tell you to turn around and leave or anything like that. No, we welcome everyone. But we really want to reach local people. And it takes time. And we're involved in a lot of different things. I'm a chaplain for the fire and the police department. I do some outdoor sports that allows me to engage a lot of other people. And I've seen three people come to church now that are steadily coming to church as a result of pickleball. And that's been a blessing. Yeah. And have had, I mean, countless opportunities to give my thoughts on what's going on in the current events, because people know I'm a pastor, And they say, hey, would you come, what do you think about this? Or an officer will say, hey, what do you think about this? Or, you know, my marriage is messed up, or I don't know how to raise my kids. You know, do you got any ideas? Because we're at a loss. And so, you know, anytime you're involved in community, it gives you opportunity to engage people. And that's what I really want to do. I'm not going to just, you're not going to be able to engage your community in church. You got to go out into the community, right? And so that gives me those opportunities. One of the things that we're trying to do right now is we're getting a vocational school started. As you know, more kids and more kids are always on their phones. Electronics are taking over. And so it creates kind of a different mindset and a disconnect from reality, from relationships, a lot of things. If the Lord tarries, this generation that's grown up with all these electronic devices and are completely engulfed in these things, it will show you the fruit of all of that in the next 10, 15 years. I hope the Lord comes back before them. But we are seeing a need. We are trying to meet that need at the same time, inject hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are trying to get some things going where we are teaching young people how to work with their hands. We're teaching them how to use skill saws and chop saws. We're teaching them how to use staple guns and paint and all these types of things. Our first project's coming up in September. Please pray for that. It's the 24th and 25th. We're building 3 portable chicken coops. And we're bringing a farmer in, talking about what it's like to raise chickens. We're giving away those 3 chicken coops to the kids. We're giving away chickens. We're giving away chicken feed. And we're teaching them how to build these. And the next event, we're going to have a heavy equipment operator day where we're going to bring in a backhoe and a track hoe, a couple excavators, mini X's, and we're going to let kids just work with these things and move stuff. If you've ever done that, it doesn't matter. If you're 4 years old or if you're, you know, 104 years old, every man, and I can't speak for the women, probably women, there is just something about getting in a machine like that, moving stuff around, having that power. It's amazing. It's great. And so we're going to be doing that. And then we're going to bring in some skilled men that know how to work these machines and talk about, you know, what the future of Kona is like in this industry. What you can make, how to get into that field. We're just introducing them to these trades. That's what we're doing for the first year. The second year, be 2022. Next fall, we're actually starting the vocational school. It'll be 4 hours every day, and we have the curriculum. It's with the NCCR. It's a nationally accredited curriculum. Anybody can be certified in it. You just have to be examined and tested, and you have to have a location that young people can come and meet. I've had countless schools in the area just showing great interest. I had a meeting with it's called Mukualani Christian School, and with the principal, we talked for 3 hours, and she's got seniors that want to get involved, both from doing community service, as well as an elective coming and taking our classes, or just working around there and someone mentoring them. So we have a lot of opportunities to mingle with young people and share the gospel. Christian schools, by the way, are not filled with Christian kids. You probably know that. And so then the public school, it just started a carpentry class and a culinary class this year because kids are just coming out of high school not knowing how to do anything. And that's another thing. I won't get into that. But our educational system is really geared in teaching one style of education. That is reading, comprehension, and then writing it down. So a lot of it depends on how well you can memorize information and then convey that information on a sheet of paper in the form of a test. That's how most educational purposes or educational institutes work. But not all kids learn that way. A lot of us, including myself, are very hands-on. And we can watch how somebody plumbs a kitchen, we can do it. We can watch how somebody frames up a house, we can do it. We can watch how someone welds something up, okay, give me a welder, let me try that. It's just very hands-on. If that's how you're geared and that's the direction you feel like you want to provide for your family, whether it be farming, whether it be carpentry, whether it be any of those types of things. So we want to introduce these kids to all of that. That's what we got going on this year. We're going to be doing a butchering class, teaching kids how to butcher a chicken, how to butcher a pig, how to butcher a cow, a goat, and a sheep. That's all what we have on our island. And then we're going to have a really good cook come through, a guy that we met a while ago, and he's going to show how to cook up some of these things. So in that particular situation, we're going to have some of the ladies in our community. We're going to invite them out to it, as well as give away some knives to some of the young people. And you know, hopefully they'll pick up on how to do some of that stuff. All right. That's just a little taste of what we've got going on. So we're really excited about it. Like I said, the community is excited about it. We want to show proof of concept. Once we get that done, I can go out and try to get some grants and different things like that, because to do it upright, it costs money. And we want to do it right. And we're looking for full-time families to come in and helping us get this thing going. So pray for that. My brother, I want to bring him on full-time, and I need another family full-time. And that way we can get things moving, and then I can get back to, you know, pastoring. But this is a ministry of the church that we want to. It's called Kona Vocational and Life Education Center. It's on the web, konavocational.com, and we're working on putting that all together. It's kind of like halfway done. I don't know if you know, but you got a vocational school right down the school down the road that's going up. It's called Elevate North. They got one in Caldwell, Idaho. And this is their second one, and they just got an $800,000 grant to build this facility. How many of you knew about that one? There's a sign right here. They had a groundbreaking 2 days ago. It's right there on 41st Street, right next to the Heritage Baptist Church, just down a little ways from that. So anyway, that's a huge campus that's going in there. They're going to offer welding and carpentry, culinary. I don't know. Anyway, it's called Elevate-North.org. And I was reading up on it. I'm just trying to gather as much information as I can from different places that do something similar. And they're going to be working with a lot of kids that perhaps are flunking out of school or have special needs or drugs or pregnant or no parents involved, as well as opening it up to the public. It is so successful in Caldwell that they're just getting money thrown at them left and right. They're hoping to do a few more in Idaho. So anyway, the need is great. They stopped doing this kind of stuff in high schools years ago. I grew up with it. We had small engine repair, drafting, welding. I mean, we had all that kind of stuff. Not anymore. And so high schools shifted more towards electronics, computer programming, and now that's completely flooded, and we don't have any journeymen. We don't have any young people that are going to the fields of the trades. And there's just, you get a trade in Idaho, in Hawaii, it doesn't matter. You can find a job. And you can support your family pretty well. And you don't have all the college fees that are connected to that. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, those are some things we got going on. We're trying to get our Awana program. We shut that down for a year because of the COVID. Parents were a little concerned. We have a space that's, you know, half this space and not quite as wide as this. And so trying to put an Awana circle in there is a little bit challenging. And we got a post right in the middle of it. And so we're going to pad that post. And we got to redo all the flooring. We're just trying to make do. You know, we got a piece of property from the state of Hawaii. It's an acre and a half. It has 7 buildings on it. They're all starting to fall apart a little bit. But we're going to have it for 30 years at $1,000 a year. The average price for anything like that in Hawaii is about $5,000 to $7,000 a month. We're getting it for $1,000 a year. Wow. That's just the Lord. But the condition is we have to have this school. We have to have a trade school or something there. They wanted another Christian school, and we just didn't feel led at this point to do anything like that. So we wanted to do the trade school. So it's just taken a little while to get all the paperwork redone because they had to redraw up the lease. Anyway, so pray for that. Pray for my family. You know, my kids get a little lonely every once in a while. They don't really have a lot of friends their age. And they don't complain to me. I just see them crying off in their rooms every once in a while, the older ones. Except for Gideon. He's 19. He doesn't cry as quite as much now. He's got a girlfriend. But it's kind of lonely on the mission field. Pray for my wife. She doesn't necessarily have a really good friend that she can just go out for coffee with. And I'm just praying God would bring maybe somebody along. My kids gave a testimony at Pastor Murphy's church on Sunday night. And I talked about Hawaii, and each one of them got up, except for the two little ones. They cried, so I just had them back down. But Gideon talked about how, you know, it's very prejudiced. You know, and you're, you know, a white kid, and it's just tough. Yep. And you know, it is what it is. You live with it. It's just, you don't whine about it. You don't really talk about it a whole lot, but it affects you down inside. And so he works on a framing crew. He's the only white kid in there. All the other guys are like 30 years old, and they're all wine guys, and they're all saved guys. A mix of different doctrines, but they're saved. And he loves it, but you just stand out. You're just different, you know. And he was tennis team, the only white kid. Really stood out, and not as far as skill, just because he didn't have any. And, you know, but the Lord's been just, you know, shown, you know, through those types of things, God just shows you that he's all that you need. Amen. But that takes a lot of maturity to understand that and to grab a hold of that, especially when you're like my son Gideon, who all he wants to do is just have a blast. I mean, he's just very, I don't know, he just wants to live in the moment. That's his personality. He's full of energy and life and just, yeah. And so not to have people to do that with is tough sometimes. So there's some things you can pray about. We are honored to represent you over there in Hawaii. We have grown to love the people more and more every year. There are frustrating points along the way. People are not consistently in church. They're just little things take them out for sometimes weeks, and it's just like, what? You know, it doesn't have to be anything, you know. The whole family will stay home because one kid out of five, you know, sneezed twice. We don't want to bring that to church. We'll keep the kid at home. You know, she's 16 years old. She's going to be fine by herself. No, the whole family stays home. You know, it's just weird stuff. I don't get it, you know. I just don't get it. But we deal with that. I'm discipling some guys, some Hawaiian guys. Pray for that. One's really struggling. He got out of prison and for killing his drug dealer. I don't know how he got out, but he's out. Maybe they thought, not a bad thing. But he's out. But as soon as he got out, I mean, it's like all these old friends are out of, you know, coming out of the woodwork, and they're like, hey, come out. And he's a good-looking Hawaiian guy, very fit, and has just fell in love with CrossFit, and that's all he's, I mean, every day, just bam, bam, pumping the iron. And now he's starting to miss Wednesdays and, you know, has excuses on discipleship day. And so just pray for him. His name is Josh. You know, we've really connected. We got a good friendship. But, you know, I'm pretty rough on the guy. Just because I feel like he can handle it. I just tell him how it is. That's what I mean by rough. I'm very forthright with him. And his brother Enoch is 25. Josh is like 29. And Enoch follows his brother, you know, just kind of lets his brother lead. And so, but I'm starting to see Enoch making some better spiritual decisions than his brother. Their mom and dad absolutely loved the church. And they grew up in some type of a Christian/Mormon religion. It's something that we've never even heard of over there before, but and we're trying to get to the heart of salvation in their lives to see if they truly are saved. But they seem to be saved. I mean, they've told us. It's just so much mixture. And that's how it is over there. I mean, culturally, the races, the religions, everything's mixed. And I don't care about the other stuff, but when it comes to salvation, you can't mix other stuff in there. And so we're trying to sort through all this stuff. And it just takes time. The Lord has really grown me in this area of being patient. I am not a patient person. I am usually, you know, full octane, high speed ahead, let's get it done kind of guy. And the Lord has really slowed me down. And it's good. And I'm going to preach on that tonight a little bit. Okay? Any questions? All right, Mark chapter number 6. Thank you, Pastor Garcia, for allowing me to come. I appreciate our friendship over the years. We were ordained the same time, and it was a blessing. You know, we went up into pastor's office there. There was like, I don't know, 15 pastors up there ready to grill us, and I was nervous. I was really nervous. What are they going to say? You know, what deep doctrinal issues are they going to bring up? I just let Brother Garcia answer all the questions, and I kind of skated through on his coattail. Mark chapter number 6, this is something that is quite familiar, but it's something the Lord has really worked in my heart in this last month. And I'd like to share it with you tonight. It's more teaching than preaching, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And And there's basically a truth, a spiritual truth or principle here that I think it's important for us to be reminded of going forward because of all the uncertainty that we're facing in the years or months to come. And in Mark chapter number 6, let me see if I, do I have my glasses? Oh, yes. Today's my birthday. I'm 48 today. Well, 42, I started thinking about these, but this year, my wife says, please, put them on. Because I was messing up, I was reading my Bible, and I'd be like trying to focus, and reading the words up on the screen, and I just, yeah, she says, put the stinking glasses on. Humble yourself. Ugh. You know, but I got these contacts in where I'm supposed to be able to read in the middle and then be able to see further away on the outside. It doesn't work. I still got to wear these things. So here we are. I hope I don't seem too old to you when I wear these, but it is what it is, right? At some point, I know I'm going to have hearing aids and a false hip, but that's just how it is. Mark chapter number 6. And let's pick it up here, verse number 45. Of course, this story is the Lord is praying on the land, and he sees the disciples out in a boat. It's in the Sea of Galilee, and it's kind of a familiar time because this happened to him once before. But I want you to consider something here. It says in verse number 45, and straightway, and brother, is it 7 o'clock? Okay, so. Just, I mean, what do I got? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? What do you want me to do?
You preach, brother.
Do you guys mind?
Preach.
I think this will really help you.
Amen.
It's helped me a lot. Okay. So I'll keep it under an hour. No. I can get the truth to you in 15, 20 minutes. So if you listen fast, we'll go through it. But I think it'll be a blessing to you. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And this is right after, of course, the feeding of the 5,000. So he's sending them away. He tells the guys to get in the ship, go on the other side. Verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. So they're struggling out there in the sea. And it says here, and about the fourth watch, okay, so this is like 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, the book of Matthew tells you how far out they were, and they're about 3.5 miles. It describes it in furlongs, but they're out 3.5 miles from the shore. And it's, you know, 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. So it's not a time that you're like, yeah, this is so much fun. All right, you get the picture. And it says, for the wind was contrary unto them about, okay, fourth watch. And then he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Well, yeah, they're freaked out. Something's walking to them and they're crying out. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship. Now, the other Gospels give two other bits of information. In the book of Matthew and in the book of John, it speaks of this particular instance, but it speaks in Matthew of Peter walking on the water. Remember, he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come out to you. Okay, that's the same miracle. And then in John 6, as soon as he calms the sea, immediately they're on the other side. They're where they're supposed to be. So another miracle happened. But this particular gospel doesn't mention those two things. But it does mention something that the others don't, and we're going to look at that. It says here in verse 51, and he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And I want you to think about that for just a second. He calms everything. And they're just, wow, this is amazing. But notice what the Holy Spirit of God senses inside of them, and then he conveys that message to us in verse 52. What does the Holy Spirit see? for they consider not the miracle of the loaves. What is he talking about? What he's saying in verse 51 is that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. These emotions, this outlook at the miracle of God, this like, wow, this is crazy, amazing. That response was due to verse 51 because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, for the heart was hardened. And this is the simple principle that I want us to look at here tonight. And that is that God does miracles and he does a work in our life sometimes for the sheer moment of it, for us to consider how trustworthy he is, how great he is, how powerful he is, or as a way of demonstrating some of his characteristics. Now, in the verses earlier, it speaks that Jesus saw all these people in verse number 34. And he says that he was moved with compassion because they didn't have any sheep. And the disciples said, hey, send them away. You know, they haven't eaten. And we know that story. But it's almost like at the end of that, after they fed them all, they took up 12 baskets. And they started out with very little. It's like at that moment, they should have considered that miracle at that moment. When you're in the midst of the sea in your row and it's, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and the winds are going and the waves are up and you're exhausted, you're tired, and that's generally not when we're going to think back to the last miracle that God did. But the truth of that miracle, or the what God's been doing in your life that you've already considered, that's when it enters into our life and we say, hey, God's done this, he can get us through this. But they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. And the time that they should have considered it was right at the end of that miracle. When they had those baskets in their hands, and they're like, wow, we just fed over 5,000 men, so probably 10,000 people, if you include the women and the children, and maybe more than that, we just fed them with this little bit that the Lord had, and he broke and blessed. And now we have, each one of us, a basket full. That's the time to pause. That's the time to consider the work of God in your life.
Amen.
Now, what does it mean to consider? What does it mean to ponder these things? Well, to consider is to fix your mind on, to think upon with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate upon, to observe, to examine. It seems like this year I've been doing a lot of that. My daughter got married this year. It's like, whoa, I'm getting older. My children are leaving. I'm getting replaced a little bit, it feels like. Today was not an exceptional day for me. A lot of things at home came unraveled. Number one, I'm not there to deal with stuff. And my wife kind of depends on me to handle things. We have water all over the kitchen. Plumbing's messed up. She poured some old milk, I guess, that got left in there. It was all curled. Put it in the garbage disposal. It came out from underneath the dishwasher. Nasty smelling. That was after she poured all the compost down the, you know, garbage disposal. It had potato peels in it. Plugged up whatever. Then we had someone staying in this little spot in the back of our property, and they got their truck messed up and stuck, and they just made ruts all over. My whole backyard's tore up. It's been raining for almost 2 weeks straight. The place is a disaster. It's like, okay, what is there that I can learn from this, Lord? My natural response is to try to just fix it and to be angry a little bit or frustrated or whatever. Let's solve these issues. Let's take care of this. But the other side of it is, Lord, what can I learn from this? What is there I should be considering? And oftentimes we don't consider when we ought to. And I'll show you that in just a moment. The impression here that we get in this particular miracle is that had they considered the miracle, maybe their response to that storm would have been different. Or they responded the way they did because they had not considered the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. But one thing that we can determine from the passage of Scripture is this, that miracle of the five loaves and the fish was done in part so that they might consider the powerful nature of the Lord. That they might consider how great God was. That they might consider how he provided in a situation where they had no power to meet the need of the people. But God did it. And he did it all by himself, miraculously, and that he's worthy to be trusted. It was done in part that they would consider that about him. Not just that, hey, look at all this food and everybody's happy. Great, let's move on to the next thing. No, that you would pause and you would consider it. It was done, so you would consider it. And sometimes we think that God's work in our life, or the miracles of God, is just simply to get us from point A to point B, but that's not it. It's like, stop. Before we get to B, stop. Consider some things here. I took something from nothing and I made it into something, and look at all these people fed. I did that. I provided for them in a way you could never. You can trust me. You can trust me in the future. But they didn't consider it. And consequently, when the next storm arose, they didn't think about how God could get them through it. Why? Because they were in the moment. And we'll look at maybe why their heart was hardened. The work of God in our life is never done by accident. But most assuredly, to deepen our love, our faith, our dependence on him. That in everything that he's doing, he may be glorified in it. Not so that we would just get from one problem to the next, but he wants to be glorified in the process. You've heard the thing, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Yeah, and God wants to be glorified throughout the journey. Seeing the potential in a problem is not always an easy thing. And we tend to see problems as problems, but God sees them as possibilities of showing himself strong on our behalf. Amen. To deepen our love for him, to deepen our trust. We sing that song, you know, trust and obey. But man, it's easier to sing than to obey. And God wants us to trust him. Amidst all that's going on in 2021, trust him. Trust him. Well, I'm not sure. No, look in the past. Consider the things that he's done. Was he not trustworthy back then? Nothing's changed. Just the type of problem. But it's nothing for the Lord. And something that's interesting, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part. I want you maybe write it down. But over in John chapter number 6, verse number 24 through 26, and then verses 33 through 37, the Lord uses that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 to demonstrate something about himself, and that is that he was the bread of life. Say, hey, you went and you wanted to see a miracle and get fed, but let me tell you something. I am the bread of life. This kind of bread, you're always going to need to get and get and get, but I'll tell you, you come to me, you're going to find food for your soul that you'll never need again. So that miracle was in part done so the disciples might consider how trustworthy the Lord was. But for others, that miracle was done so they might see the character, the nature of God in that miracle. He demonstrated a principle to them, somebody else, through the same miracle. I'm the bread of life. So we never always know what God is doing in a particular situation, but he's got something for you. You just have to stop and consider it. And that leads me just to my last thought here. Why didn't they do that? Well, the Bible says here in verse number 52 at the end, what were the last five words there? For their heart was hardened. So from the time of the feeding of the 5,000 to the storm, somewhere in there, the heart got hardened. And I have an idea of maybe how that happened. And I found myself in the same situation. Let me just show this to you and we'll be done, okay? Now, if we back up chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, I want you to just follow the bouncing ball a little bit. Just follow the narrative. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. And he called unto them, the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two and give them power
over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Okay, so they did that. They went out and they performed miracles and they saw God work, but it's a very spiritually exhausting and it's sometimes emotionally exhausting task to minister to people, okay? What you're going to see is that by the time they get in the ship, they are exhausted. They are tired. They have nothing left in the tank. That's where we're headed, all right? We're going to show you this real quickly. Then look at verse number 12. And they went out and they preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. That's exhausting, right? You know how it is Wednesday nights. We've been working Monday, Tuesday. Some of you today come to church. A little wore out. I remember roofing houses. Wednesday night came along. Sometimes I would plant myself in the first two rows just so that I would feel embarrassed if I nodded my head. Because I knew if I was in the back where Mr. Blue is back there, I would be asleep like that. I was just exhausted. Roofing's exhausting. Tearing off roofs. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. These guys are working in a spiritual realm and got totally exhausted. Now, look at verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. And what? What's the next few words? Rest. Oh, Lord, you read our mind. Thank you. We are exhausted. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. All right, so after they had done all that ministering, now they're with the Lord, and people are still in there. Can you imagine, Brother Garcia? It's like you go home, and all these people are in your living room when you get in there. It's like, oh, what's going on? This is crazy. You go in your bathroom, and you got four people in there. You go upstairs, and there's about five people up there. You go in the kitchen, and somebody's in your fridge. It's like, hey, get out of here. I mean, we love you, but go home. I think that's how these disciples were. They're like, hey, we've been ministering. We did our thing. We need a break from you. Leave us alone, please. That's what's going on. So Lord's going to take them up because they don't have any time to eat. People are like, hey, Peter, I need your advice on something. Okay. And then he gets down with somebody and somebody else grabs him. And they're looking at the Lord, and the Lord says, hey, let's get away. I know you're not able to eat. Let's go and rest. Verse number 33. Well, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship. What's the next word? So you know what that means. It's like, let's go over there. Don't tell anybody. So they get into a ship, and they go to a private place. Like, where did the Garcias go? I don't know. They didn't tell us. Yeah, there's a reason for that. All right. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of the cities. Listen, and out went them and came together unto him. So as soon as they get over there, they get out of the ship, there they are again. But that's not how Jesus felt. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, Lord, or said, this is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away. They may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And then the Lord, he's got a sense of humor, I think. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. What would you say? You've been trying to get away from these people. They're starving. And you say, Lord, send them away, so then go eat. You feed them. I'm not going to be disrespectful, Lord. Right? But I'm broke.
we got nothing here, and I don't want to really feed them. If they go find something to eat, at least they'll leave us alone for a while. And he says, feed them. And they say, well, shall we buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, we have 5 and 2 fishes. So then he begins to do his work, right? But then, look at verse number 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. Well, he sent away the people. We know the rest of the narrative. In verse number 48, they're out in the middle of, you know, the sea, several miles. Now, they're exhausted emotionally. They're exhausted physically. They're exhausted spiritually. And they're in a boat. Just 4 a.m. This is really great. I'm so glad he called me to be one of his 12. I mean, this is really great. Wind and the waves. Then all of a sudden, some spirit on the water starts coming towards you, and you're like freaking out like all of us would. And he's like, hey, it's just me. Oh, man, Lord, don't do that to us. Oh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. We haven't eaten. We're exhausted, and you come up on us like that, walking on water. Who does that? Who does that? Oh. It's at that moment that they should have considered, right before the Lord show up, the miracle. But when you're in the moment and you haven't taken time to consider, you're going to react in a way that does not please the Lord. Right. And it doesn't matter if you've been down this road before, because you know what happened in a few chapters before all this? Look at Mark 4. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Mark 4, 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? He's like always just like, you never have considered what I've been doing up to this point. You're not thinking about things. Why are you so fearful? It's obvious, Lord, we're about ready to die. The boat is sinking, Lord. And you're wondering why we don't have faith. Obviously, he was expecting them to consider some things before all of this. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And they say one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea, they obey him. That was 2 chapters before this storm. They've been down this road before. They just stop. They don't stop to consider what God's been doing. And I'm just telling you, there's some things coming. There's some more storms a-brewing. And there's some uncertainties ahead. Before we face the storm ahead, maybe we should just pause and consider, okay, Lord, what have you been doing in my life? How have you been working? What does that teach me about you? Lord, I remember this situation. I just want to let you know, I trust you. No matter what comes, I trust you. You've been so faithful. You've never let me down. And we know things are going to get hairy, but my confidence is in you and not in man. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because we're oftentimes just like these disciples. We're just busy, not doing bad things, oftentimes just doing what the Lord wants us to do. But in the midst of all that, God expects us to stop and consider what he's doing in our life. Sometimes it's to reveal how he's trustworthy. Sometimes it's to reveal something about his nature, who he is. I don't know what it is that he's trying to show you, what kind of work he's doing in your life, but I guarantee you, he's doing something in your life, even now. I want to encourage you to take some time this week, maybe tonight, whatever, and just consider, you know, Lord, what are you doing? What am I supposed to learn from that? Oh, okay. Yeah, Lord, you've been so good. This is really difficult here for me right now, Lord, but you've gotten through, helped me get through these other situations in the past. And I know I can trust you. I want you to know my confidence is in you. I don't know if you're like that, but I need to remind myself of that continually. And I need to stop, because when that storm hits, it's not the time for me to start considering. I should be doing that now. So that when it hits, I'm like, yeah. But remember the loaves and the fishes? Yep, we can get through this, boys. We can get through it. Because God will bring that to our remembrance if we've taken the time to consider it. So let's pray, and then I'll give it over to Pastor Garcia. Lord, thank you so much for just this little lesson here on stopping to consider the work that you're doing in our life. And sometimes it's other people, they can examine it and they can see and Christ can be glorified through it. But maybe oftentimes there's something in it for us to remember. Might it strengthen us as we think back to the work that you've been doing in our life, maybe what you're doing right now. And help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to put our confidence in you. So when the storm does come, we're already established. We're going to set our face like a flint, and we're going to carry on with the commandments we've been given. And help us not to get fearful or be unbelieving or unfaithful, Lord. And like it says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And Lord, we pray in these times, might we stand. In Jesus' name, amen.